This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And let's start today with the future of school testing, which has long been a subject of passionate debate. It's back in the news here in Massachusetts because of plans to ditch the MCAS, which students have been taking since 1998, in favor of the so-called PARC test.
PARC stands for the Partnership for Assessment of Readiness for College and Careers. It's a computer-based test linked to the new Common Core standards in math and English. The shift has reignited the debate between those who demand accountability and evidence that all children are learning, and the critics who say teaching to the test comes at the expense of real education.
And over the weekend, even President Obama made reference to this when he recommended that schools spend no more than 2% of class time on testing.
I believe that in moderation, smart strategic tests can help us measure our kids' progress in school. It can help them learn. But I also hear from parents who rightly worry about too much testing. And from teachers who feel so much pressure to teach to a test that it takes the joy out of teaching and learning, both for them and for the students. I want to fix that.
And this week, Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker chimed in on this conversation. He said he's open to talking about how much time to spend on testing, but he also said tests are essential.
The last thing I am ever going to support is getting away from the idea that there should be some baseline expectation about what somebody who gets a high school diploma learns here in the Commonwealth, and that there's some way to measure how people are doing on that.
Today, we're going to begin a series of conversations and debates about the future of testing in Massachusetts classrooms, beginning with a bit of an explainer from Peter Ballinan Rosen, reporter for WBUR's Learning Lab. And Peter, thanks for being with us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with the MCAS, the Massachusetts Comprehensive and Assessment System, which has been around since 1998. Remind us what it tests and who's been taking it.
So all students in 3rd through 8th grade and 10th grade are required to take the MCAS. It was originally based on Massachusetts homegrown standards that came about as a result of the 1993 Education Reform Act. And by the time No Child Left Behind came around in 2002, that required that students in 3rd through 8th grade be tested.
A lot of people say if you're going to test, the MCAS is a pretty good test. So why is Massachusetts moving away from it and toward the PARC?
So education officials are saying that it's time for a next generation assessment in Massachusetts. They tried to update it to be a computer test in 2009, but due to physical constraints, that never happened. And so around that same time, the federal government was offering grants for states to create tests based on Common Core standards, which Massachusetts had just switched to. So education officials kind of took that opportunity to be at the forefront of that group and kind of create a new test based on these new standards.
Peter, what other states are taking the PARC test? And tell us what it tests and who actually takes it.
So the test is, it tests students on English and math only right now. And it's being implemented for students in 3rd through 8th grade and high school as well, which is a departure from MCAS, which was only 10th grade. But the states that are actually taking PARC is kind of fluid. In 2011, when the PARC Consortium of States was born, it started with 24 states and Washington, D.C. committed to using the PARC test. But since then, states in the PARC Consortium have kind of been dropping off like flies. Over the past 4 years, the majority of states that once used PARC, they are now choosing to take other tests. And this year, we only had 11 states in D.C. to use PARC to evaluate their students. And since then, 3 more states have dropped out.
Well, really interesting. So I'm curious to know why states are dropping out.
It's a combination of things. One is definitely politics involved with the words Common Core and PARC and it being this national thing, and people really want their homegrown standards, but it's also the technology aspect of it. PARC is a computerized test, and updating school infrastructures has been a challenge in some states.
All right. So how is the transition working here in Massachusetts? My understanding is that some districts are still using the MCAS, others are already using PARC. Is that right?
Right. So the switch to PARC isn't necessarily imminent. For the past 2 years, Massachusetts districts have been piloting the PARC test, if
I
you
see.
Will. And so they've been testing it out. And this November, the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education will decide whether or not they want the entire state to adopt it.
I see. And to what extent does the shift from MCAS to PARC actually change a school's curriculum?
We know that standards for better or worse, and testing drive classroom instruction.
Right.
At the last Board of Elementary and Secondary Education meeting that I was at, we had three superintendents from major urban districts. They're advocating, saying that, you know, we want a test that has rigorous standards. We want a test that will challenge our students because it makes the classroom instruction be aligned with that more.
Right. What about cost? Is the park more expensive to distribute and grade, less expensive than the MCAS?
Well, according to the most recent numbers that I have, which are from 2013, school officials figured it would cost about $29.50 per student to test English and math using PARC. The MCAS at that time cost $46 per student to test the same two subjects.
So it's cheaper, presumably, because it's a computer-based test as opposed to paper and pencil.
Yes, and one of the other arguments is that it's economies of scale, right? If we have PARC is a consortium where there's a number of states who are giving that same test. So the cost to implement it, the cost to create it, will be spread not just across Massachusetts districts, but across all the districts across the country who are taking that test.
So, Peter, last week, Mitchell Chester, the Commissioner of Elementary and Secondary Education in the state, told WBUR that he thinks the MCAS has run its course and that the PARC is better. But he said he wants to keep control of testing here in Massachusetts and suggested something that's been called MCAS 2.0. Here's what he said.
Wherever we go, we need to know that we have the running room, that we're in control of the final product that gets rolled out, whether it's fully PARC, whether it's half and half, or whether PARC's not involved at all. We need to be headed toward a next generation that makes sense for Massachusetts.
So what's Mitchell Chester actually saying there? That there might be some middle road, some sort of PARC that Massachusetts can still be in control of, it sounds like.
Right. So in the past few weeks, the move to PARC started to feel a little less imminent than it had in the past. Mitchell Chester was all of a sudden saying he was exploring this third option, which might be a Massachusetts-specific test, an MCAS 2.0, that incorporates elements of PARC, but isn't necessarily PARC. So, which is very interesting because Chester himself is the chair of the governing board of PARC. So he's been, in a sense, in charge of kind of creating and making this an effective test. So for him to say, you know what, this might not work the best for my state, I think that says a lot.
So how do you see all of this playing out in the weeks and months ahead?
Well, it's really interesting. I think if you look at the reactions to high-stakes testing, it's starting to kind of make a wave. We've had parents, we've had teachers, we've had other educators for years who have been saying our kids are being tested too much. Mm-hmm. And now politicians and other policymakers are starting to respond to that. They're saying we need to measure where our students are, but we might not necessarily need to have teacher evaluations tied to that. We might not necessarily need to have graduation requirements tied to that. And it's also the timing, the amount of time spent on testing that seems to be driving a lot of parents and teachers a little crazy. And the Obama administration saying we want to cap that at 2% of classroom time being dedicated to taking tests. That's still 18 to 19 hours. It's still a lot, and that's the test taking itself. But there's definitely been a big backlash, and it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
It will indeed. Okay, that's Peter Ballin and Rosen. He's a reporter for WBUR's Learning Lab. Peter, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
All right, well, you're listening to our series examining a major decision coming up in Massachusetts, MCAS or PARC. The Board of Elementary and Higher Ed will vote on whether to make the switch mid-next month, as you've been hearing. So let's take a look at where this really matters. And that is, of course, inside the classroom. So we're joined now by two Boston teachers. Kalima Rahim teaches AP Language and Composition at New Mission High School in Hyde Park. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us in the studio is Caitlin Gaffney. She's a math teacher at the Tobin K-8 school in Roxbury. Caitlin, welcome to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you both. And I should say that both of your schools piloted the PARC test for the first time this past spring. So let me just get very, very quickly from each of you which one you prefer, MCAS or PARC. Kalima?
I preferred PARC because, one, it engaged children on a critical level. So they were being asked to confirm why they know what they know, and that really matters because, one, if we're looking for children to be successful after high school, they need to have that critical thinking element attached to them.
Okay, so we'll come back to that in a moment. But Caitlin, what about you?
I don't have a preference at this time. I support the Boston City Council call for a moratorium on standardized testing until we can do some more research and have some more time to figure out what best meets our students' needs.
Okay, so the whole question about whether or not there is too much testing, I do want to dig in with both of you on it, but let me push you just a little bit. At this point in time, one of the tests is going to happen. So, I mean, you tried out PARC, you piloted PARC at the school last spring. I mean, was it better or worse than MCAS in terms of administering it and the effect it had on students? How did you see it in that pilot exam?
I would say we piloted PARC in a paper version to start with. One of the reasons for this is that many of the school systems don't have the capacity to support the technology that PARC will require going forward.
Because it has to be done on a computer.
It has to be done on a computer. Now, we do have classes that piloted online, and as far as success in completing the test, that was successful.
Do you think that, I mean, as Kalima was saying earlier, it asked the students to show a greater degree of critical understanding or critical thinking than MCAS did?
I would say that it asks them to enlist a variety of skills that MCAS did not.
Say more. Go ahead.
Speaking specifically about the technology piece, where we had paper MCAS, students were allowed to do all of their figuring, all of their thinking on paper. Moving toward the computer-based PARC exam, there are a multitude of computer skills that students are going to need to be proficient at in order to be successful in taking the PARC.
Okay, Kalima, I am going to come back to you in just a second, but Caitlin, you've got me on the hook here a little bit because I'm hearing you say that PARC was good in terms of getting students to demonstrate computer skills, but that's not really the aim of the test.
Well, I will say this specifically. You're asking students when they're taking PARC to be able to use drop-down menus, to drag and drop answers, to click on small icons that will open up a pop-up window of choices where they could select, say, for the math exam, a fraction bar set up where they can plug answers into that, typing open response answers. These are computer science skills that you're asking students to be proficient in prior to taking this exam, separate from the content that they need to have mastered in order to be successful.
Okay, so Kalima Rahim, you were saying earlier that what you saw was evidence that students had to demonstrate more critical thinking or critical understanding of the content. Can you just give us a description? I mean, you teach AP language and composition. How did you see that actually play out with some of your students?
Well, especially in my students with learning disabilities, we had one first. I teach in a critical way, so I'm asking them to engage closely with the text. So when they're looking at questions or author's purpose or the audience, they understand that they're going into the text looking actively for why the writer is writing. So that critical element is first given to them. So that skill or that strategy of reading is first, cultivated in them. So when they engage in the PARC exam online, we spent maybe 1 hour before the exam, and we show them these are the things that you need to do. So because children are already computer literate, it's not hard for them to understand. And prior to that, we spent time making sure that we had the technology in the school, mm-hmm. the Chromebooks that we needed. So when I saw students engaging, I saw them actively thinking. They weren't trying to find, go down the, the text and circle or just pick random multiple choice questions. They were going back to the text. Where did I find that? How can I support that answer? Because the questions are asking you two parts. One, this is the question that they're asking, but then how do you know that this is true? So you have to go back and verify, which is part B of the question. This is why I'm thinking what I'm thinking.
And you didn't see that evidence of that kind of thinking with MCAS?
No, because it's only one part of the question, and some of them are, really don't engage you in critical thought. Like, what is the main purpose of calling a certain person by a certain name? I think the Steve Jobs example that they had on recent MCAS, why did he, what's a hands-on something? I forget exactly verbatim what it was, but I don't understand why that mattered. And then one was the law of Hippocrates. Mm-hmm. They asked if you were to rename a section, you know, what would it be?
Right.
I don't see how that engages you in critical thought about the law of Hippocrates.
Well, Caitlin Gaffney, let me turn back to you, because in a sense, I mean, Kalima teaches AP language and composition, and you teach math at the Tobin K-8. And I understand that you've taught math from third through eighth grade?
Correct.
But mostly in the middle grades. I mean, did you see MCAS as a part of the overall way to measure success in your students as they progressed from the third through the eighth grades?
I would say it's one measure of success. Yes, one measure that reflects on the school, reflects on the instruction that's happening in the classroom. I will say for the MCAS, we had the results preliminary in the summer, results in the fall. So we're able to take that data and use that to drive our instruction, not only looking at the students that I was passing forward so I could reflect on my own instruction for the previous year, but also obtaining results for the students that were currently sitting in front of me. Now we're in November, and I still haven't seen the PARC results. So how is that a measure or a useful source of data for me as I plan my instruction in the classroom this year?
I see. I mean, Kalima, do you have a thought on that?
Well, I'm not reliant on outside measures because I know what my students are capable of doing because I assess them often and always. So in my instance, I'm looking to make sure that they can read rhetorically, that they can understand what an argument is, that they can synthesize text. So I know that before they take an exam.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, I was reading an op-ed from Jim Sturgis at the Pioneer Institute, and he's a big defender of MCAS. And he says one of the things that he prefers about MCAS, it's along the lines of what Caitlin was saying, is that it does give some longitudinal information about students as they progress through schools. And until we have that same longitudinal information with PARC, you know, teachers can, in a sense, be operating in a vacuum. I mean, because they don't have, like, how the student did the year before or 2 years before. Does that concern you in any way?
No, because, one, it's new. It's just a year one. So I'm sure by year four we'll have that information. And, again, I don't think that any teacher should be waiting on external measures for how they're doing in the classroom.
Okay. Well, let's take a step. Oh, did you want to talk?
Yes,
say something, Caitlin? Go ahead.
I would concur with that statement. I totally support that. Teachers are constantly doing formative assessments on a day-to-day basis, getting to know their students in and out. I would just say that the weight that is placed on these tests and the impact that it has on some of our schools, and even the way the data is analyzed, even if you take a look at the MCAS data, some of the factors that aren't always considered are the high transiency rates mm-hmm. that we have in some of our urban schools. Those things are not reflected in the overall picture of how we look at the data.
Right. So that's a great way for us to pivot to, in the last couple minutes that we have, to this larger question. Because earlier in the conversation that Anthony had, you heard some tape from Governor Baker basically saying he is adamant that some kind of testing is necessary for students to graduate, that we have to have some kind of measure in Massachusetts schools about whether or not they have been successfully educated as they move on to work or college. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely, because when I went to school, it was very probable that you could graduate being functionally illiterate. You know, and thank goodness to standardized testing and other accountability practices, that's highly unlikely. So,
Caitlin?
I would say that it is one measure, but it creates a narrow snapshot of what a child is capable of and their overall developmental potential across the different intelligences.
Yeah. It's interesting because we were looking at some data from a state commission study on testing, and it found that Massachusetts school districts basically require roughly 6.7 tests per year, and that they noticed that one thing is that the amount of testing that's required from students, basically that PARC is required twice a year, as we know, and
it's been narrowed down to one.
Narrowed down to one?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, so do you think that even that is too much or too little?
I think that's just right, because I think schools and teachers should be accountable on some measure of student progress. It makes no sense to have students go through a system and not know what the end result is.
Caitlin, do you have a thought on that?
Well, I would agree with that, but I would say that that doesn't tell the whole story. There are so many other assessments that our students are faced with. If I think about the Tobin K-8, I'll speak to my sixth grade class last year. We spent probably about 30 days testing. And what that looks like is not one simple hour, two simple hours of a test. Because you have students on IEPs, they require special accommodations. It essentially puts a halt on the schedule for the day. And you have to deploy personnel to support the testing accommodations. And you lose a day of instruction.
I do have one last question for both of you, and that harkens back to something President Obama said in the clip that we played at the beginning of this segment. He says, you know, he said that he's heard from parents and teachers, of course, that there's pressure to teach to a test and that it can take the joy out of teaching and learning. There's a lot packed into that, but in a couple seconds, I'm just wondering, is there any truth to that? Do you as teachers who are in classrooms every day feel that the amount of effort and focus that's been put on testing in Massachusetts schools, has that changed what it means to be a teacher? Has it taken the joy out of it?
Well, being that I am an AP teacher, I'm already aligned with college and career readiness. I'm already at the end versus, you know, a student that's learning to read and trying to figure out numbers and colors and places. That's very, very different. So my focus is on equity in education, making sure the students are prepared once they leave college to be successful in whatever endeavor they wish to pursue.
So it hasn't taken the joy out of it. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Absolutely.
Caitlin, your thought briefly?
Well, I've been at the Tobin School for 16 years, and I would say I would not let anything take the joy out of my teaching. But I think the more important question to ask, is it taking the joy out of the learning for the students?
Ah, interesting question. Well, grateful to both of you for your dedication in the classroom day in and day out. Kalima Rahim teaches AP Language and Composition at New Mission High School in Hyde Park. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for being.
And Caitlin Gaffney, math teacher at the Tobin K-8 in Roxbury. Thank you so much for joining us as well.
Thank you very much.
And remember, we've got a series going on about the future of testing. You can find out more about it at radioboston.org. And tomorrow, we're going to talk with one of the people who's at the center of this debate, who's going to recommend whether or not we move from MCAS to PARC. That's Commissioner of Elementary and Secondary Education, Mitchell Chester.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. Coming up, a look at New Hampshire's outsized role in the presidential nomination process. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.